All right. So to all our YouTube viewers and Facebook viewers, we're again online. I want to also invite you tonight for a night of worship on this YouTube channel. You're going to have Luc Gingras, which is a Quebec artist, with his new album. He's going to present it here in a night of worship. That's at 7:30 online and 7 p.m. presential. Now, I want to share this before we pray with you. This is my Easter message, and the Lord just prompted me this message in my heart about the man who helped Jesus. You know, sometimes we want to help God in our stupid way of behaving, but this is not what happened. So I'm going to read this scripture, which is in Luke. So Luke reported this event like this. Jesus is carrying the cross to Golgotha. This is after he was tried and judged and wrongly condemned to death. And so he's carrying the cross. The Roman soldiers are coming with him to crucify him in the place called the skull, which in Hebrew it's Golgotha. So here's Jesus going to the place. And verse 26, Luke 23, it says, "And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus." So this morning, I want to share the story of Simon of Cyrene. Who is Simon of Cyrene? Simon of Cyrene is an African, a black man. Cyrene is was a town in those days in Libya, close to, you know, that region, Libya, Sudan. So he's from a tribe that's below the Sahara Desert, and he's probably a businessman. Why do we come to this conclusion? Because of his name. Because his name, Simon, is not an African name. It's a name that can be given to a Greek or to even to a Jew. You know, Peter was named Simon. That's the same name. So his name doesn't reveal his nationality, but his place of origin does. And then the story that is connected with Simon. So Simon of Cyrene, he's a businessman, probably a wealthy businessman, that is in Jerusalem. It says on the verse that he was coming in from the country. So he came from outside. We don't know what was his trade. We just know that he's there and that he is on the procession, on the way where the Roman soldiers escort Jesus to the cross. And the crowd is coming. And so Simon sees what's going on here. What's going on here? And he showed up. And as he shows up, something happens. The soldiers that are escorting Jesus, they see that he is too weak to carry the cross. He's having trouble in carrying the cross. The cross is very heavy. I don't know if you ever carried a log of wood. But a log of wood, the size of the cross, is extremely heavy. And so he's not making it. And the soldiers have a task. The task is take this man to the place of sacrifice, of killing, and kill him there. So they don't want him to die before time. And so it's like Simon is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or he's in the right place at the right time. Let me tell you the story of Simon. First of all, studying history, I came to the conclusion that in the days of Jesus, slavery was very common. But contrary to what we think today, in those days, the white folks were the slaves. So just to clarify things, because we may have a wrong reading of history, because we're 2,000 years later and circumstances and history that happened in the meantime are different. So the reason why they choose Simon is obvious. It's because he is not a Jew. Okay? So here the Romans. Romans are smart. And they conquered the known world. They know this is a tricky situation. Jesus has thousands of followers. They're killing Jesus. They do not want to pick up a Jew. And they see, oh, here's Simon. Oh, that's gold. That's gold. You're not a Jew. Simon, you're going to carry the cross. And Simon then is confronted with a situation, which is either he obeys and has to suffer that humiliation, or they're going to kill him right there. That's certain. Because if Simon says no, the Romans for sure are going to kill him. So he has no choice. It's a split-second decision. And he has to think, what am I going to do? You know, we can romanticize about what was happening. And most likely, Simon is displeased with what's happening to this man. Listen, it's Jesus. He has a crown of thorns. He's bleeding. He was badly beaten up, so he's all sore. He's carrying that cross. It's not a pleasant thing to watch. And here's Simon that probably, as I told you, is a businessman. He's a foreigner. He's a what we will call today a visible minority. And then he's pointed out of the crowd and says, hey, you carry that log. And he says, oh my goodness, why did I came here? Why? Why am I here? You know, in the Gospel of Mark, it tells a little bit more about Simon. It tells the following. Mark 15:21, and they compelled a passerby. So here it says it's a passerby. So it's a guy that's just passing by. And his name is Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. And then it adds, the father of Alexander and Rufus to carry his cross. Now, Alexander and Rufus are also Roman names. Or Greek names. Alexander is a well-known Greek name. Rufus is more like a Latin name. These are his children. He's the father of these. And why is this very meaningful? Because Alexander and Rufus were very important people in the early church. And they're the children of Simon. So the whole family, we can see here that the whole family was touched by this event. Something happened to Simon. I can imagine Simon getting hold of that log of wood that is covered with blood. A blood that is foreign to him. He doesn't know what he's touching. Listen, that piece of wood is considered so precious that during the history of Christianity, they had pieces of wood that they will say were from the cross all over the known Christian world. So every church had a little relic that was a little bit of the cross. And I remember when I studied about this, that they tried to calculate all the little pieces of wood that were in all these churches, Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches all over the world, and they concluded it will build a ship bigger than the Titanic. So, by other words, most of these pieces of wood are fake. But imagine the value of that wood. I don't know if you follow the news, but that last week, they say the Ukrainians sent two missiles and they sunk a Russian, the admiral, ship that went to the end of the to the bottom of the ocean, and inside that ship was an Orthodox relic in transport that the Orthodox Pope in Russia was sending to protect the supposedly protect the troops. And that relic, which is a piece of the cross authenticated, went to the bottom of the ocean. So that's what they say. But I'm just mentioning the piece of wood. It's for Simon, it's a piece of wood. He doesn't know how meaningful this piece of wood will be for centuries. You know, if Christians are superstitious, they want that piece of wood. Oh, if I touch that piece of wood, you know, I'll be healed. If I touch that piece of wood, that's a holy piece of wood. Listen, the wood has nothing holy, but the blood of Jesus has. It was the blood of Jesus that gave value to that piece of wood. And up to today, historians are looking into these events, and if there is something that authenticates the crucifixion, it's this episode. Because from an historical perspective, they say that Jesus may even not even existed. Yeah, they still write stories like this. It's Easter time. They wrote a story like this on the New York Post. And they wrote the same story in other newspapers saying we don't even know if Jesus ever existed. I know he existed. I know he still exists. But you know, the story they mentioned in that article, it's Simon of Cyrene also. Because they say there's a witness that touched the cross, an African man. And his children later were found in Rome doing business. They're famous business people in Rome a few decades later. They are his children. Now, Simon didn't know what Jesus prophesied. It wasn't just a command, it was a prophecy. Luke 9:23. Jesus told the disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Guess what happened to Simon of Cyrene? Because, you know, Mark doesn't say so, but in Luke, look where he was carrying the cross. Behind Jesus. Behind Jesus. So for a part of that horrible trip to Golgotha, here's Jesus, and then there's Simon of Cyrene that picked up his cross, and he's following him. Oh, man. When I read this story, I wish I was Simon of Cyrene. I mean, he was there. I can imagine he's suffering, carrying that cross for that innocent man. As he's walking, he's seeing Jesus right ahead of him. And he's thinking, who is this man? What could he have done so horrible that they're going to kill him? And there's the crowd around. And there's people around. And his blood is on the cross. His blood is on that floor, on the ground. And he's carrying for a few minutes. We don't know how long. But maybe a half an hour. He carries that cross. And then I believe, he stayed there for the crucifixion. Because he's part of the story now. He suffers with Jesus without being told. He has an accidental conversion. Let me finish this story. Simon was suddenly, unexpectedly chosen out of the crowd. He was pointed out of the crowd. Hey, you there. You know, when we have prayer here, sometimes you can expect that to be pointed out of the crowd. You can expect that. Say, hey, you there. God has something for you. That's what happened with Simon of Cyrene. Hey, you there. You pick up the cross and follow Jesus. And he doesn't know doctrine. He doesn't know the teachings of Jesus. He doesn't choose. And let me tell you this. We do not choose our moments of suffering. Sometimes suffering comes into your life out of a circumstance that happened, a war that happened in your country, an infirmity that attacks your body, something that strikes your family. Something happens and suffering comes. Suffering comes our way, either we like it or not. And the call to suffer with Jesus is even more costly. You see, that man, Simon of Cyrene, he didn't know by that time. He thought, are they going to kill me with him? Am I going to be killed also? Because, listen, the Roman soldiers are fierce men. They're abusers. They're the occupier. They're the force that dominates. They can do whatever they want. They can kill him. Nobody will complain. Simon is thinking, what is going to happen to me? And then the cross comes out of Simon of Cyrene. They nail Jesus to the cross. They lift up Jesus. And I'm sure Simon says, it should have been me there. But instead of me, there is this man. Who is this man? He's accidentally following Jesus. Listen, I don't know if you're following Jesus by accident or not. I started following Jesus by accident. I wasn't looking to follow Jesus. It kind of struck me, and I thought, well, why not, you know? Why not go to that church? There was an altar call. It says, well, you know, why not go to the front, pray for me, you know, what I have to lose. Then they prayed for me. I was delivered from drugs, from sin, from addiction. I was delivered in a church by accident. And then later, by accident, I started planting churches. And accidentally, I become an accidental missionary. That's my Twitter handle. If you go to my Twitter, you'll see there, Tony, accidental missionary. Because with me, I followed Jesus by accident. I didn't give a lot of thought. I had a clash, an intersection with Jesus. And today, let me tell you, you're not listening to this message by accident. You're not here by accident. But this is an accidental thing that happened in heaven. Now, you have to follow Jesus, just like Simon of Cyrene. You know, I have there the, you know, Romans 15:21, where when Paul talks about Rufus, which is one of Simon's children that is in Rome, when Paul is in Rome. So we know by church tradition that the whole family was touched and saved. This is what God wants to do with you. Carrying the cross of Jesus for us now, it's not literal like with Simon of Cyrene. Simon of Cyrene, in fact, represents the whole church, represents you and me. I can imagine if you were there, instead of Simon of Cyrene, it will be you. If you were there, it will be you. If I was there, it will be me. Because God prepares everything perfectly. Perfectly. It's not by, listen, carrying the cross is a privilege. The act of carrying the cross, it's not necessarily your choice. It's God's choice. You may think it's your choice, but it's God's choice. You may think, oh, I chose Jesus. But in fact, He chose you. That's why I don't like to say that I accepted Christ. I never accepted him. He accepted me. So the cross is more than just the place where Jesus died. It's the place of transformation. When Simon took that cross, he was a different man. He thought, they're going to kill me. These Romans, they're going to kill me. I'm a foreigner. I'm not a Jew. I don't have rights like the Jews. They can see by the color of my skin. I'm not a Jew like these folks. What's going to happen to me? And he was totally 100% transformed. Okay, last Bible verse, and we're going to pray for everybody. Luke 14:27. Here's the word of Jesus. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Come where? After me. Just like Simon of Cyrene. I just love that Luke added that he didn't follow in front of Jesus, but he's behind. That's really meaningful, because sometimes we want to do things on our own. We think that we know better. I'm going to make this choice. Allow your life to be transformed by the cross. And from today on, follow Jesus. You can follow him. Listen, if you have a career, you may think, oh, I did this. I'm so smart. But Jesus is going ahead of you. You know, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, and people celebrated Palm Sunday last Sunday because the people had palms, and here's Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Everybody's cheering. He's coming riding a donkey, and everybody's putting coats so the donkey will walk on coats. I can imagine that donkey think, oh, these people love me. Oh, look at how they love me. Oh, and it's so hot. And they have these palms. Oh, these people love me so much. That's the donkey thinking. But they're doing this because Jesus is riding the donkey. Let Jesus. I'm not going to call you a donkey. But listen, sometimes we think we have these ideas about ourselves. Oh, I did this. I did this. I met this man. He was a refugee from a war in Africa, in Angola, and so I pastored this man, and so one day I go to his house and he's showing me that big mansion, beautiful house, and he's telling me, "You see these hands? I've built this," and I ask him, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, all my life." "All right. Uh-huh. So you built this. So you came out of the war with nothing. You came here, you built a business, and you had enough money to build this mansion. That's fantastic. Did you really build this?" And he says, "I built this with my hands. Nobody helped me, not even God." I told this man, you know, be careful, brother. He's my brother. Because that's terrible pride and presumption. You should just say, you know, I build this by the grace of God. "No, I build this." It was our last conversation. You know that man died that week. And what he built was for nobody, because he was alone. And I will never forget this. It was the first place where I planted the church. I will never forget this. And I thought, this man left a war zone, lost everything, goes to a country that he's unknown. He's able to build all this, and he still thinks, what a donkey. It's so sad. So listen, I don't know if you're very proud of what you do. I am not. But the glory that we carry should be the glory that Simon of Cyrene carried, because ultimately, whatever we do, it's the strength that God gives into our hands. I had to share this. It's not part of this message, but I had to share it. Because you may be so proud of yourself that you think, I don't need Jesus. But today, by accident, by accident, God is telling you, pick up that cross. Let's all stand. Amen. We're going to pray. I don't know if you have any thoughts about what I know. Okay, but listen, I would like to pray for you. And we're going to say goodbye to our friends on YouTube and Facebook. And if you want prayer, just post your prayer requests on.